Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Karen, thank you very much. Still to come in this hour of the programme, we're going to be live in Washington in a moment for the latest on the Elon Musk-Donald Trump bitter breakup. Also, Amazon is planning to use human-like robots to jump out of vans outside your home to deliver your parcels. And The Gathering on the news that made the headlines this week, including the deportation of children who were settled in a Dublin school. First, though, back to the United States, where that spectacular social media feuding between the US President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk has been dominating the headlines. Let's take a listen to what Donald Trump had to say about Elon Musk's criticism of his big, beautiful bill.
Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if we're well anymore. I was surprised because you were here. Everybody in this room practically was here as we had a wonderful send-off. He said wonderful things about me. You couldn't have nicer, said the best thing. He's worn the hat. Trump was right about everything. And I am right about the great, big, beautiful bill. But I'm very disappointed because Elon knew the inner workings of this bill better than almost anybody sitting here, better than you people. He knew everything about it. He had no problem with it. All of a sudden, he had a problem. And he only developed the problem when he found out that we're going to have to cut the EV mandate, because that's billions and billions of dollars. And it really is unfair. We want to have cars of all types. Electric, we want to have electric, but we want to have a gasoline, combustion. We want to have different. We want to have hybrids. We want to have all. We want to be able to sell everything. I'd rather have him criticize me than the bill, because the bill is incredible.
Yeah, Elon says that he didn't see the bill at all, that it was published in the dark of the night and no one got to see it until it came out publicly. Let's get more on this now. Simon Marks, chief correspondent of Feature Story News, is based in Washington. Simon, thank you for being with us. There's going to be a phone call today between the two men, isn't there?
There is indeed. According to the White House, a phone call has been scheduled and there is a possibility, we are told, of detente in the relationship now between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Although, how on earth one brings that about after yesterday's, and I'm using my words carefully here, Claire, utterly pathetic display between these two men, the richest man on the planet, tussling on social media with the most powerful man on the planet, Elon Musk endorsing the idea that Donald Trump should be impeached and replaced by J.D. Vance, accusing the President of the United States of such ingratitude for Donald Trump's claim that he would have won the presidential election last November without Elon Musk's support. Mr. Musk, late in the day, launching unsubstantiated claims about whether Donald Trump's name is contained in the Epstein files, that trove of documents relating to the disgraced and now deceased financier Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump, of course, sitting back at Elon Musk, threatening to cancel billions of dollars in federal contracts that are held particularly by his SpaceX company, but also increasingly by his Starlink internet venture as well. I mean, this was trench warfare yesterday between these two men, deploying no longer, in the case of Elon Musk, deploying the chainsaw that he used to prance around with on the stage here in Washington, D.C. But instead, they both picked up flamethrowers and pointed them in one another's direction. How on earth you now think that with a phone call and some sort of agreement, there is an off-ramp here after everything that the world witnessed yesterday, on what, by the way, was a very big day for Donald Trump, that started with a phone call with President Xi Jinping of China, went on with a personal meeting with Chancellor Friedrich Merz of Germany. I mean, there was serious stuff to attend to yesterday men decided to descend into the mud.
It sounds like poor old Friedrich got short shrift in the midst of all of this. But you know, I know you say it's going to be difficult to find the off-ramp here, but it got so dirty and so nasty so quickly. And then everybody seemed to realise how high the stakes were for both sides, that maybe that's where the off-ramp is, that both men will go, we can't have this row, because on Elon Musk's side, you've got hundreds of millions of dollars, $3 billion in fact, in government contracts. And on Donald Trump's side, you've got his political capital at stake.
Well, I think there's no question about that. I mean, Donald Trump perhaps belatedly is realising that it would have been better to keep Elon Musk inside the tent, working somehow within the government, rather than have him outside the tent trying to destroy it. But there's some real practicalities about how they bury the hatchet. Elon Musk is steadfastly opposed to this big, beautiful bill. That, by the way, is its official name. The tax and spending proposals that Donald Trump needs to get passed through the Senate, because they are an absolutely critical economic stimulus aspect of his economic policy. I mean, they're the flip side to the trade war that he is waging. Now, Elon Musk seems very unlikely to be able to find himself in a position where he walks back his steadfast opposition to that bill. He's already sowed concern among Republicans in the Senate and the House of Representatives, with several Republicans in the House saying if they had known at the time that they voted on the bill what it actually said, they would have voted differently. So Musk has already set in train events that could lead to that bill either being derailed or definitely being rewritten and then slow walked into law. And that will be a big problem for Donald Trump. But Musk has also, of course, indicated through a Twitter poll that he launched yesterday the possibility that he's thinking of funding a centrist political party in the United States to go after voters, and there are many of them, who are deeply dissatisfied with both the Republicans and the Democrats. So even if they find some way of burying the hatchet over the next few hours, I mean, the public record of that spat and the attention that it has received here, and frankly, the disgrace that it has brought on to America as it's revealed this deeply unserious situation at the top of government here, that's going to be very difficult to repair.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news for both sides, perhaps, is that the Kremlin in the last few minutes, Simon, has said it's not going to get involved in Donald Trump's row with Elon Musk, but they're confident in the Kremlin that Donald Trump will deal with the situation. So that might provide some comfort to both men this morning.
Yeah, but I mean, that also really reflects the gravity of the situation here, doesn't it? I mean, at a moment when there are massive international issues for the President of the United States to be getting embroiled in, including, you know, what now looks like an extremely complicated path to peace in Ukraine, at a moment when there are families across the United States that have suffered greatly as a result of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency and the actions that it took to downsize the federal government, hundreds of thousands of people having been laid off, people all over the world being impacted by the policies that Musk and Trump worked on together, the evisceration of the United States Agency for International Development. How do you emerge from all of this with any credibility on the world stage, let alone any kind of respect here in the United States? I mean, Americans yesterday, of both parties, loved the reality show. They couldn't get enough of it on TV and online over the last few hours. But, you know, the morning after the night before, the headache caused by that by that particular party that everybody
binge
attended yesterday. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be grave.
Well, I just wonder about this phone call. We all really want to hear what's said, but we're not going to get the live feed, are we? But we are likely to hear in great detail, because both men own social media networks, what was said.
Yeah, and it's worth just making the point. I was saying yesterday, it was like we were stuck in the middle of the worst Marvel movie imaginable, as these two incredibly powerful and wealthy men fought it out over their own social media networks. That was just an extraordinary thing to observe. I am sure that both men will provide a readout of that call. And there's danger in that, of course, as well, because they are both so mercurial and so quixotic. And in the case of Elon Musk, if you watched his comportment in the Oval Office only a week ago when the president was hosting that send-off ceremony for him that ironically was designed to paper over any notion that there was a fissure emerging in their relationship. I mean, Elon Musk's behaviour in that meeting was so erratic that it only further fuelled questions about what exactly is going on in his personal life. I mean, that's before we get to the black eye that he was sporting. And watching that stream of invective that he was publishing yesterday over X, I mean, even more so than President Trump, because he was completely outpacing the White House's ability to keep up, you kind of had to wonder what was going on behind the scenes.
Well, we wait for the next episode with, shall I say, glee? Certainly interest, Simon. Thank you so much. Simon Marks there, Chief Correspondent of Feature Story News. Now, he may have lost Elon, but in a significant turnaround in US-Chinese relations, Donald Trump held, as Simon reminded us there, a long-awaited phone call with the Chinese leader Xi Jinping yesterday, which he described as a very good talk. Now, the call is the first time the two leaders have spoken since Trump launched a trade war with Beijing in February. Addressing the call with reporters, Donald Trump said he'd be visiting China.
I guess you could say, I wouldn't even say finalizing it up, Scott. I would say we have a deal and we're going to just make sure that everybody understands what the deal is. By the way, he invited me to China and I invited him here. We both accepted. So I'll be going there with the First Lady at a certain point, and he'll be coming here hopefully with the First Lady of China.
Well, I'm joined on the line by Irish Times China correspondent Dennis Staunton. Dennis, thank you for being with us. What are you hearing about that phone call?
Well, the Chinese had a slightly harsher version of it than Trump did. And so their version was that Xi Jinping told Donald Trump that he had to drop all of the negative measures that the US had taken against China, and that if they wanted progress, they had to be mutually respectful. And while Trump said that they had only really spoken about trade and didn't speak about anything else, the Chinese readout said they also spoke about Taiwan, and that Trump reaffirmed his commitment to the One China policy, which is the official Chinese policy on that.
But we know that Donald Trump sees the Chinese leader as being very tough, right? Because he has said on Truth Social that he likes him. I always have, I always will. But he's very tough and extremely hard to make a deal with. I mean, what does that tell us? Perhaps he's telling us that, you know, the Chinese have the upper hand here.
Well, the Chinese certainly seem to have played their cards pretty well in this trade war. And one of the things that's happened is that, you know, it began, as we know, all about tariffs and Trump putting these big tariffs on China, China reciprocating. And then the two sides met in Geneva on the 12th of May, and they agreed to suspend most of these tariffs. But the following day, the Americans announced new restrictions on selling semiconductors and technology to China. And China then responded by failing to lift their export controls on these rare earth minerals and magnets, which are used for making cars, and they're essential for making cars, and China controls about 90% of them. So basically what China has done is that they've realized that they have a strength not so much in what America wants to sell to them as what America wants to buy from them.
Yes.
And so China has really sort of turned the screw on this, and that really was at the center of this call.
Well, I suppose it's exposed just how deeply the US economy relies on China and is at the mercy of China, you know, when it comes to those rare earth minerals, because it is those substances that power not only America, but all of our high-tech way of living now.
That's right. And the European companies are affected as well, but not quite as badly, because what China has been doing is that it's been issuing licenses to certain companies that they can get. And they've been a little bit more generous to the Europeans than they have to the Americans. But it's a big problem. So, for example, Ford had to close one of their factories temporarily in Chicago a couple of days ago because of the fact that they didn't have any of these magnets that they needed for them.
So in terms of how the tariffs and the uncertainty around them, Dennis, what sort of impact is that all of that having now on Chinese workers and in more generally on the Chinese economy?
Well, in the immediate term, just for the last few weeks, since this kind of truce was agreed in Geneva a few weeks ago, the Chinese factories have been working overtime because basically everybody's been trying to ship everything over to America before these big tariffs come back on again. So, you know, trade had effectively stopped and now it's started again. But obviously there is going to be this uncertainty. So it's certainly in China's interest that they get some kind of deal. And not only that they get it quickly, but more importantly, that it's a deal that's going to hold. And that's the difficult thing, obviously, especially when, as you've been hearing a few minutes ago, when you're dealing with somebody like Donald Trump.
Dennis, thank you so much. Dennis Staunton there, Irish Times China correspondent. Coming up, Amazon's plans to have human-like robots run up to your home with your delivery parcel, plus the gathering on the way too.